Connor.
Good evening.
Hello, good evening.
How are you doing?
Okay. Good. Just I woke up at 2:30 and didn't fall back to sleep until late. So then I had a bunch of phone calls and felt like a Kabbalah teacher this morning. And I fell asleep at noon and missed the class. But it was one of my Jewish friends in California, and she really had an experience, and I spent over 2.5 hours with her. So all your teachings just flowed out.
It means you've learned them, that you're living them.
Well.
Are you trying anyway?
Well, yeah, I am living them. I have to say that. And trying,
good.
Yeah. So.
Baruch Hashem.
Mm-hmm.
Well, nobody has come here physically yet. And it's just you on the call so far, so let's give it a few more minutes.
Okay. All right.
It was a good class this morning.
Oh, okay. Pesach Sheni?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I haven't put it up yet, but I forgot all about some of the things that I'd said and what that had been written about it.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very, very powerful.
Okay. I did edit that one about a week ago. So the only thing I'd been putting blank, blank, blank if you had a meeting, because I wasn't too sure of the timing.
Right.
So, mm-hmm. I had my 60th class reunion last night. That was quite an experience.
I take it that was high school?
Yes.
Well, that must have been exciting.
It was. They kept asking me about my hair. Was it my hair? And I said, yes, it's my hair. What do you think? Oh, no, my.
It's funny. I guess this June I have one of those anniversaries of as well, but I don't think there's a lot of them left.
Well, we had a class of 234. It was a large class, and we had 73 that had passed away. And
that's all?
Right, yeah, I thought that was really good.
That is good.
Mm-hmm. And most everybody had gained weight. About two had lost weight. But one came up and gave me the most interesting story. It kind of made me laugh a little bit. And in a way, it made me feel good, too. This person I knew is named John Paul. And he was a very husky, big-boned man, student at the time. And he was sort of slow. But he was fantastic with car mechanics, and
right.
And even it was hard for him in high school with the academic subjects. But I knew that when he would graduate, he'd probably go into mechanics. You know, well, he had lost a lot of weight. He no longer looked like, you know, the big chubby fella. But anyway, he came up to me and he said, you remember those two mean teachers we had? And I said, no. And it turned out it was in junior high, not high school. And so I named the two teachers, and he said, well, one of them caught me cheating on a spelling test and made me write 400 lines, I will not cheat in school. And you wrote 200 of them for me. Oh, so I thought that was kind of it. And she caught us. She caught, you know, but he said, I never did. And then later he came back and I said, I want to thank you for telling that story because I don't remember it. And if she caught me, I know that probably scared the devil out of me, you know, the saying that we say. And he said, oh, well, I didn't tell her it was you, but she knew someone else that helped me write them. But you were the one that helped me write 200 of them. So that was kind of cute.
It is. And what a difference in the way teachers teach today, huh?
Yeah. He said, but you know what I did? I took three pencils and I fitted them on a line that I could write three lines at one time because you gave him 200 more to write. So go to your reunion. It'll bring some laughter in your life.
That's true. I believe somebody else came on.
I think so.
But you know what? No matter how much of a
terrorist
in the Republican Party right now,
Brandela.
Hello, Brandy.
Hey.
Hi, Brandy.
Hey, Barbara.
It's two of you. We're going to wait a couple more minutes because there's nobody here physically, and I'm basically doing this primarily for the people in this building.
Okay.
But I mean, I will do it for everybody, and you know, there's quite a bit on the website. But I have to figure out what I'm doing wrong here that nobody comes.
Well, it's probably just the month of May, because I find that when I'm teaching that the month of May is hard to keep everybody together. There's too many things going on, wedding showers and reunions and all kind of things.
Like that.
So.
Hey, Malcolm.
Hello.
Hi.
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 Well, since we have a nice people, let's...
Are you still there? Okay.
I'm still here.
Okay. I heard a blank, so I thought maybe we got disconnected.
Okay. No, but give me a minute because I want to.
We don't mind waiting if you want to wait till your group is there, you know, till next week.
Well, there's four of you, so, you know, I don't mind.
Oh, four. Okay. I'll ask you.
No, I believe there's two other people came on. I'm not sure. I'll double check in a minute. I'm just trying to get to the right handout. And for those of you who are listening, that it's in the Revealed Wisdom Matrix, and it's the last row 19, second column from the left. And it's class number 2. So please join me in saying the Anabakoa, and since I'm away from my computer.
Okay, I'm going to mute.
Okay. We'll just start it. Anabakoa Gedula Chimincha Tati Serirah Aleph Bet Gimel Yud Tav Tzadik. Kabel Rinat Amcha Sagvenu Taharenu No Ra Kufre Shayan Sintet Nun Na Gibor Dor Sheyechud Cha Kivavat Shamren Nun Gimel Dalet Yud Kaf Shin Barchem Taharem Rachame Sidkatha Tamid Gamlem Betet Reish Tzadi Taf Gimel Chasin Kadosh Berov Tuvcha Nael Adata Het Kuf Bet Tet Nunayan. The letters of the month of Iyar, the Pei, that created the planet Noga, the planet Venus, and the Vav that created the constellation Shor, which is the bull, the astrological sign of Taurus. And we know Pei and Vav have the gematria of 86, which is the same as the name of God Elohim, which we know is a name that deals with the attribute of judgment. Yachid Geye Lamcha Penei Zokre Kedushata Yud Gimelamed Hey Zion Kuf Shavatenu Kabel Ushmati Akatenu Yodea Talumot Shin Kufav Tzadiyutav. And the eighth verse of the Anabakoach we say in a whisper. And I'll read from the a verse from the Zohar, from the Parasha of Noah. Reading section 34, verse 262, and we'll start with the Lishem Yehud. L'shem Yehud kudsha b'richu ishkinte b'tchilu Urchimu urchilu urchilu urchimu L'yachta l'shem yud he b'vav he B'yehuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael Limud Torah mitzvah L'asok Torah mitzvah V'yihi Noam Adonai Eloheinu aleinu ma'asei yadeinu konanei aleinu ma'asei yadeinu konanehu Ushata de inun parse kat paihu ishtema kol gadin te kol ho di amre shirata hahidiktiu ke kol shadai tila ishtekech leal min kemadiktiu leman yezamercha Kavod below Yidom Umay Amre Hodiya Hashem Yeshuato Le'ene Hagoyim Gila Sidkato. When they spread their wings, the singing voice of all their wings is heard, and the words as the voice of Shaddai indicates that this voice is never silent, as it is also written, praise to you, it never be silent. He then asked, what do they say? And he answered, they say, Hashem has made known his salvation, his righteousness, He has openly showed in the sight of the heathens. Does anybody have any questions? So we're starting with class number 2, which starts on day 3. It's titled, Is Satan's Accomplice? And we are continuing with the preface. The Chofetz Chaim has stated and proven beyond any doubt that the sin of Lashon Hara, which was the cause of the Second Temple's destruction, is the factor which up to this day has prevented us from being redeemed through Mashiach's arrival. The question is, why? How could this one sin be so destructive? To understand the severity of Lashon Hara and its ramifications, one must first understand the judicial system in heaven, through which the Jewish people are judged. The Chofetz Chaim explains that the heavenly judicial process is initiated by words which Jews speak on this world. Our negative conversations are the key which opens the door for Satan to prosecute. As Zohar states in Parashat Shelach, this sin brings plague, sword, and murder to this world. Woe to those who awaken this evil force, who do not guard their tongues and pay no heed to this. They do not realize that the ways of heaven are reflective of the ways on this world, both for good and for bad. Through evil talk, Satan is aroused to voice accusations against the entire world. I am adding, woe to the perpetrator of Lashon Hara, yet that does not mean they suffer plague, sword, murder in this world, yet they will be the subject of Lashon Hara to balance the universe, in my opinion. In this vein, the Chofetz Chaim explains that the teaching from the Talmud, whoever speaks Lashon Hara raises sins to the heavens, should be taken literally. When we speak negatively of our fellow Jews or children of Israel, this causes the sins of our people to be noted in heaven, where they are brought before the heavenly throne for judgment. We think we're merely chatting, when in reality, we're delivering the day's caseload to Satan. The Chofetz Chaim offers a second reason why Lashon Hara is so damaging, because Lashon Hara utilizes the power of speech to do its damage. It corrupts this faculty and prevents our Torah and Tefillah, the prayer, from ascending heavenward. The Chofetz Chaim envisions the sacred words that pour forth from a mouth corrupted by Lashon Hara. He sees them heading upward toward our heavenly bank accounts, but never quite getting there. We believe we have accomplished something spiritually, but that's not what happens. The Chofetz Chaim says, all the words of Torah and prayer are hanging somewhere between heaven and earth, suspended in the air. He concludes, if our Torah and prayers are not being credited to us, then from where will we acquire the necessary merit to bring Mashiach and the final redemption? And I am adding, do you understand what is being said in the above paragraph? Your prayers and your readings of the Hebrew words of Torah do not get credited to you. Understand this well as a motivation to stop your Lashon Hara, as well as to stop listening to Lashon Hara. That's the end of the day 3 discussion. Does anybody have any questions? Day 4, Satan strategies. Again, we are continuing with the preface. I wondered to myself, the Chofetz Chaim writes, how is it possible that this Torah prohibition of Lashon Hara came to be disregarded by so many people? And the Chofetz Chaim answers this by introducing us to the main strategy of the evil inclination and the tactics which it utilizes to entangle us in the powerful sin of Lashon Hara. The average person, writes the Chofetz Chaim, is simply unaware that the prohibition of Lashon Hara applies to information that is true. Information that is false is termed Hotza'at Shem Ra, or slander. Therefore, all Satan needs to do is to present information as being true, and most people will readily repeat it, though according to Halakha, such talk is absolutely forbidden. And I am adding, Lashon Hara, evil speech, is true speech. Remember this. A lie is forbidden, but a lie is not called Lashon Hara. Truth is called Lashon Hara. Your reaction is that, what words can I say at all? That was my reaction when I first learned had these discussions. What can we say if the truth is Lashon Hara? And this will become clear as we go through the classes. It does not stop you from saying things that are truthful, but you have to learn how to present them so they don't harm people. Just remember, always, truth can be Lashon Hara, and therefore I need to be careful with what I say and how I say it, and not to exaggerate. Continuing, for people who are more learned, Satan uses a different approach. He convinces the person that the subject of the Lashon Hara is an evil person, and therefore deserves that Lashon Hara be spoken about him, or that this information is not Lashon Hara. And I am adding, having read the above paragraph as a student of Kabbalah, answer the question, is it okay to judge a person to be an evil person? It's a rhetorical question for each and every one of us. If these tactics fail, Satan uses an opposite tactic. He causes the person to worry that every word he speaks might be Lashon Hara, even when it is not. Satan makes it appear that the only choice one has is not to speak at all. Since most people are involved in conversation numerous times each day, the only solution seems to be to ignore the laws of Lashon Hara, for they are impossible to keep. Satan is really quite clever. Once Satan has convinced people to speak Lashon Hara, he goes about spreading his web of misinformation further to draw people into listening to the Lashon Hara based on their lack of knowledge of the Halakha. For these reasons, the Chofetz Chaim writes, the sin of Lashon Hara had become small in the eyes of the world. People became accustomed to speaking without measuring their words against the Torah's standards. Eventually, Lashon Hara was no longer viewed as an evil, thereby allowing bitter, damaging conversation to become acceptable, unrecognized as the terrible sin that it is. Shmirat HaLoshon guarding one's speech became the mitzvah of the pious, not of ordinary children of Israel, an irrelevant issue to most people. Satan's strategies have succeeded, God forbid. A most severe Torah prohibition, certainly equal to that of eating non-kosher food, was now considered to be nothing more than an optional stringency that only a few were concerned with. All of Satan's strategies, writes the Chofetz Chaim, were based on his ability to spread misinformation. This was possible because the correct information was generally inaccessible. The laws of Lashon Hara were scattered throughout the Talmud, having never been collected and organized. People were drowning in the sin of Lashon Hara simply because they were totally ignorant of it and had no way of learning about it. It was this tragic situation which impelled the Chofetz Chaim to write his monumental work, the Sefer Chofetz Chaim. That's the end of day four. Does anybody have any questions or comments?
I'm just wondering what category it fits in when you listen to people talking negative.
Truthful statements that are negative, that imply someone else is a problem.
No, well, not just there, but you know, this pain is there. Or this I can't.
What category is it? If they're talking about themselves, they're creating their own blockages. But the fact that you're listening to it,
it's creating mine.
You have an obligation to rebuke them, not to rebuke them in harshly, but to try and get them to get out of that vein. Or the other alternative is to change the subject. One of the easy tools that I was taught in the Kabbalah, when you hear somebody, and we this building, we have a lot of people who discuss this hurts and that hurts, and I have this doctor's appointment, and I'm just going through, this is what I have to do. I have to take this medicine, it has this side effects, all of these kinds of questions and statements about themselves. And when you try and get change the subject, they don't want to. They want to talk about themselves. But the easiest way to do that is say, what a blessing. God has given you a blessing that you have this pain. Number one, the person becomes totally shocked because it doesn't make sense to them. How is pain a blessing? But in reality, the pain is a wake-up call. You have a pain because of some action that you did in the past. So use the wake-up call to fix it.
Tried that. Doesn't believe it.
Well, that's fine. But if you repeat it often enough, you will find that it sinks in. And you have to remember, a lot of people in this building are at those, what I would say, they're not the final stages of their life because we don't have to die anymore. But for many people, what they hear at the final years, even if they don't accept it, will be carried through in their consciousness to their next lifetime. And so you're really doing a great mitzvah just to continue to make the statement, continue to try and reinforce that idea. I know, and I appreciate that. What you're trying to do is not to change anybody. what you're trying to do is let them learn how to change themselves. And it, you know, look, after 60, 70, 80, 90 years...
And it could be a past life. It doesn't have to be this life.
It doesn't have to be this life. And many of the things that we go through at the end of this of our lives, and as I said before, I don't know how to verbalize it differently because English doesn't give me that opportunity. But we don't have to die. But people just, you know, they're in pain, so they think they do have to. And when they go to the doctors, they're treating physical symptoms. And we have to try and get across to them that doesn't mean I have to believe what they say. But all of these efforts, while it may seem futile, it really isn't. Are there any other questions? Day 5, the safer structure. And again, we're continuing with the preface. The safer Chofetz Chaim made it possible for the first time for a person to study the laws of Lashon Hara in an organized fashion. The Chofetz Chaim writes, I wrote the safer where I gathered all the halachot, all the regulations that we can follow that were scattered throughout the Talmud and the writings of the halakhic authorities, especially the Rambam, the Smag, and the Sharei Teshuvah, authored by Rabbeinu Yonah. Before delving into the subject matter of the Sefer, the Chofetz Chaim describes its overall structure and the guidelines under which it was written. He begins, I divided the Sefer into two parts. The first is the laws of Lashon Hara, and the second section is the Hilchot Rechilut, the laws pertaining to gossip. I then divided the laws into chapters, and each chapter into several segments. And then these emails that I received that I put together have even gone into more additional segments, which are described as days. I added illustrations so that a person could receive practical advice on how to be careful in given situations. And I named this sefer Chofetz Chaim from the verse, Mi ha'ish ha'chefetz chaim, netzor l'shoncha mera. Who is the man who wants life? Guard your tongue from evil. This is a verse from Psalms. Because I wanted the sefer to be as accessible as possible, I then separated the material into two parts. The essence, which is the halakha, that is derived from after careful study and analysis, I called Makor HaChaim, the source of life. I gave it this name because speech is the essence of life, as we see from the verse, and man became a living being, which Onkelos translates in the Targum as a speaking being. The body of sources and clarifications of each halakha I named Be'ir Maim Chaim, the wellspring of living water. Because these sources were the well from which I drew, Mechor HaChaim. Know, my brother and sister, that for every point that is mentioned in this work, I cite the source in Be'ir Maim Chaim. The reason why he so carefully cites his sources, explains the Chofetz Chaim, is so that it should be clear to everyone that whatever is mentioned in this Sefer, and remember, Sefer means book, is not in any way debatable or optional. Everything here is halakha and is required of each and every child of Israel. And I am adding, it's also required of every child of Israel and also the children of Noah, the non-Jewish people. The Chofetz Chaim offers us strong medicine. He understood that this is what is needed to lift us from the complacency, which is so easily felt with regard to Lashon Hara. In his writings, the Chofetz Chaim carefully avoids exaggerations and overstatements. Yet he ends this section by stating, when one will ponder the sin of Lashon Hara and understand its significance, the hair on his head will stand on edge from the magnitude of the sin. And I am adding, as a student of Kabbalah, can you guess why the Chofetz Chaim is careful to avoid exaggerations and overstatements? That's the end of day 5. Are there any questions or comments?
So important.
Say it.
It's just so important. And I've been trying for years to change.
It's very difficult.
It is, because it's so easy to fall into a bad habit, eavesdrop.
If you remember the story that I told about Susha, where the fact that he overheard a conversation that was so unusual that he had to ponder why it happens. And yet, when we sit down at dinner and we have people sitting at our table, half the time they're listening to the other table, because as people get older, they're speaking louder because they don't hear themselves, they speak louder, and it goes on and on. And
just have a naturally loud voice.
And many have a lot naturally loud voice. That's also true. But again, these are all things that can be controlled, but we were never taught it as children. And even in the Orthodox communities today, they're not teaching that per se. There's right away going into the Gemara. The basic structure has broken down after the Second World War. And I'm not sure if it was even true before that, but
I don't know if before the Chofetz Chaim.
The emphasis was not there.
Because, I mean, people were just astounded. And now you have, you know, a whole foundation just dedicated
To
purity, speech.
Judith is speaking about the Chofetz Chaim Foundation and the Heritage Foundation. We've spoken about it before. And if you want to get these daily emails, just send me an email and I'll forward you them. I'll forward you one of them so that you can register directly. Day 6, sound advice. And again, we are still in the preface. And I keep repeating that just to give you an understanding of how much material there is. When it comes to, we had over 200 hours of classes on reincarnation. We're not going to have that many, but we will very much probably have about 100 hours. The Chofetz Chaim continues to discuss the structure of his classic work. And I beseech you, dear reader, if you come across something in my Sefer that at first glance appears to be an extra stringency, or something that could have been explained in fewer words, do not be quick to decide that it was a mistake. Study the matter well in Be'er Hamat Maim Chaim, because there is important information there, and you must understand the halakha in its entirety. In truth, each and every halakha in this sefer was pondered in great depth. I discussed the matter with friends who were Gedolei Torah, great Torah scholars, and I carefully cross-referenced Talmudic sources to check for any contradictions. I am hopeful that one who takes my words to heart and studies these halakhot in depth will recognize clearly that every word in this sefer is written exactly according to halakha, no more and no less. The Chofetz Chaim continues, I know that there are people whose habit is to downgrade others and speak much Lashon Hara. Such people will read my sefer to find leniencies that I might have written. They will not study the Be'er Mayim Chaim, and they will come to permit things that I never intended to permit. They will use my sefer to speak Lashon Hara, and will tell people that Sefer Chofetz Chaim permits it. Nevertheless, I did not refrain from writing this sefer because of people who would misuse it. Because the Torah says, for the ways of Hashem are straight, the righteous will walk in them, and sinners will stumble over them. That's a verse from the prophet Hosea. And I certainly know that there will be people who will make light of the value of studying this sefer, and they will defend themselves with the sages' teachings. Better that they should sin out of ignorance than intentionally. And this is incorrect for two reasons. The above teaching does not apply regarding a halakha that is clearly stated in the Torah. And the laws pertaining to Lashon Hara are clearly spelled out in the Torah. I am adding, study the sefer and learn and take to heart the wisdom of these teachings. And to give you a deeper or additional understanding of this idea, if someone sins intentionally, and another person does the exact same action unintentionally, do you think that the effect of those actions are the same? And the answer is, based on strict judgment, they are the same. But Hashem is merciful, so someone who does it unintentionally will have a lesser effect, or he will have the same effect split into different amounts so that it's not as difficult to handle. This is what is the Chofetz Chaim is referring to, this teaching that we just read. Better than they should sin out of ignorance than intentionally. But as the Chofetz Chaim reinforces, if it was available to you to learn it, and anything in the Torah, in the Bible, is available to you to learn, that's not an excuse for you to have ignorance. So whether you did it intentionally or you did it out of ignorance, the sin is the same, because you had the opportunity to learn. And that's an amazing spiritual law that needs to be reinforced all the time.
Especially because even when you do the unintentional sin, it's still soiling your soul.
Absolutely.
And the more soiled it becomes, the easier it is to ignore.
And the easier it is to do more negative actions that soil it even more. This is the technique of the Satan. Continuing to read. Furthermore, according to this misguided reasoning, we should not teach people the laws of Shabbat or robbery, which are also difficult to keep. In reality, we know that these laws can be observed by everyone. For Hashem, who created man and knows his abilities, gave us these laws. Were they beyond man's capabilities, Hashem would not have imposed them on us. The Chofetz Chaim adds, you will find that the study of these laws will make you more aware of Lashon Hara, so that even if, God forbid, you should stumble, you will at least not be in the category of a Baal Lashon Hara, a habitual speaker of Lashon Hara, whom our sages say in the Talmud will not merit to greet the Shekhinah. The Chofetz Chaim concludes his foreword, explaining why he opens his sefer by detailing all the positive and negative mitzvot that relate to Lashon Hara. The study of these mitzvot and related teachings of Chazal will help the reader to realize the severity of this sin and the damage that words can cause, and will certainly weaken one's inclination to sin. The Chofetz Chaim continues. The Midrash states that if one studies a subject intensely, Hashem removes the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination, from him with regard to that subject. I therefore said to myself that if a person will study this sefer and ponder what is written here, his inclination for Lashon Hara will be weakened. He will begin to draw away from this sin, and in the course of time, he will see that he can withdraw completely from speaking Lashon Hara. Because to a great extent, this sin is the result of habits. And I am adding, most people think that to stop a habit, one must replace it with a new habit. That is a current teaching in many modern spiritual paths. The above teaching refutes this teaching, and one needs to realize this truth. Study this sefer and become aware of this habit of Lashon Hara, and one will choose to stop saying Lashon Hara. He who comes to purify himself is granted heavenly assistance. In the merit of our efforts regarding the Shmirat HaLashon, the Chofetz Chaim concludes, we will be worthy of the final redemption. And I am suggesting, may we all say Amen. And I have an unwritten commentary on this section. Many people think that if you do a sin, whatever the sin means, whatever that word means, because in Hebrew there are three words for sin, but disregarding that, somebody does a mistake, either out of ignorance or out of intention. They think that that's just one mistake. But I'm going to give you an example without going into the details, because it would take too long and we're out of time as it is. But if one kills a spider, thou shalt not kill, so therefore it's one sin. No. If one kills a spider, one has done 7 positive mitzvot and 9 negative mitzvot. And with that understanding, we can begin to realize that when we do a negative mitzvot, and then we think, oh, we can do a positive mitzvot and counterbalance it, that's not the way the spiritual system works. Does anybody have any questions? I bid you all a wonderful evening. a good week, Shavua Tov, and have a week of peace and joy. And remember the two holidays, one tonight and tomorrow, and the other one Monday night and Tuesday, that are celebrated in the land of Israel. The Day of Memories, Yom HaZikaron, which is one to remember people who have died to create the modern state of Israel, but also for us to realize that just through our existence, we are an affront to the negative system. And even if we are utilizing and are a tool of the negative system, and we continue to do great negative actions, the system, the negative system, still thinks of us as we would be better off out of the world. And of course, people do not know that if we were all gone, the world would be destroyed. And the second day is the Independence Day for the modern state of Israel. And as we read this morning, written by, I believe, Rabbi Ginsburg, but by others as well, in 1947, we have the modern state of Israel, but it came without the heart and without the soul, without the heart and without the mind. The heart was Jerusalem, and that took until 1967 to be reunited. And the intellect, the mind, is still not part of the modern state of Israel. And that's if the Torah law would be reinstated into the modern state of Israel. But that is going to take the coming of Mashiach consciousness to implement. Are there any questions? Shalom to all.
Shalom. Thank you.
Thank you.
Shalom.
Shalom.
I tried to leave my kids out early, and I didn't make it.